NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sleepers Media Podcast. I am your host today, Carter Elliott. I am taking over the hosting duties. We're recording this on Sunday, June 2nd, and it is currently Gregory's birthday. And you know what? We gave him the day off, let him play a little golf, hang out with the family. He's got a new house. He lives on a golf course. I guess we become second fiddle today. That's completely fine. But I have my good friend Brian Ralph with me here. Brian, how we doing today? Is this your first hour like Sleepers episode? I know you've been on the channel a lot.
I've been on a few times for the hour, but not okay. As like a featured guest. Typically it's been with both of you, so this is nice.
Okay, I'm very confident that you are going to be a great featured guest. You also have a great beard, which is needed on this podcast, because Greg brings a great beard. Yeah. I obviously don't, so I'm glad that you can, you know, pick up the slack in that case. But I will take over the hosting duties today, so if it's bad, you know what? I don't really care, because I have to answer to Greg, and I don't think Greg's going to be mad at me. So
just blame Greg for putting his birthday as a priority over us.
Yeah, I don't want to throw him out there either, but he was sending me some texts about his golf round, and apparently his good friend Roby, who he played with this morning, wiped the floor with him in match play through like 36 holes. So he can explain himself when he gets back, but apparently it wasn't good. But we'll go ahead and get this underway. We will start with the YouTube comment of the day, as we always do. So send it over to Carter to search for the YouTube comment, which is what I'm going to do right now. A lot of good YouTube comments. Brian, actually, since I have you on here, I would like to ask you this. We'll pick this YouTube comment because there was a lot coming from the Syracuse State of the Program episode, and there was a lot of shade thrown your way about a couple of the players you're talking about and where Syracuse is going. Would you like to clarify anything as far as how you feel about Syracuse hoops? Because Greg and I actually talked about them on our last episode, and we were like, you know, when are they going to stop giving the leeway to the guy who took over for the legendary mm-hmm. head coach? So do you want to clear the air about Syracuse at all, or how you feel about?
No, I think I made my feelings pretty clear on the State of the Program. If you want to know my feelings, I suggest you go watch that video. I don't have high hopes for Syracuse this season. Let's put it bluntly. They're a program that should be in a better spot than they are and in a healthier position than they are. And with programs like that, we tend to give them the benefit of the doubt because Syracuse should have great players, right? But I don't know that they do. I don't know if the roster construction is great. And it's okay to say that the roster is fairly mid, and I think they'll finish in the middle of the ACC, which is not great.
Yeah, it's not. And you know what? Like, when you ACC or ACC and Syracuse in general, like, that program is always, I think, to everybody in the college basketball space, it's going to hold a certain type of just aura. Like, it's Syracuse, you know? Yeah. They have the history. The jerseys are amazing. The moments, they have all that thing. So maybe, you know, Red gets it going, gets one or two recruits that kind of change things around and gets it going. But I think you're pretty fair in your assessment. And also, Judah Mintz is not walking through that door this season anymore.
No. I felt really good about Syracuse at the end of the year going into this season. And then, like, everybody left. And so I'm not a J.J. Starling guy. I'm not somebody who expects him to be a first-team All-ACC performer. I don't think that's in him anymore. I think Syracuse is in for another NIT bid that they can choose to accept or not accept. That's up to them.
Yeah, they accept NIT bids, by the way. Sometimes you got to take a little bit of dash of humility. Yeah. But now let's get to the Discord comments. As always, join the Discord. That is the easiest, the best way to support us. Join on your desktop. If you join on the desktop, it's $9.99 a month. I think we got just over 300 people in there. We also currently have Riley Davis in there, as well as Brian in the Discord. So a lot of good things happening there. Excited what's going to happen.
Once I want to point out, I was in there months before Riley.
You were months before Riley. As you should be. It took Michigan State getting a center just for Riley to get in there. And the center was Sizamon Zapala, which, by the way, I apologize. People have been getting after me for calling him Sizamon. I know it's Simon, but Sizamon just sounds so much cooler, and I'm just going to keep rocking with it. But like I said,
Simon, when he starts playing bad.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just calling him Zap once that happens. First comment comes from, let's see here. Oh, okay. Whose roster would you take between Kentucky and Arkansas? That's the first part. And two, if Kentucky ends up with a better season than Arkansas in year one, would you all consider Kentucky the winner in the coaching change? So let's start the first one there. Whose roster would you take between Kentucky and Arkansas, Raw?
Are we going top to bottom or just the starting five? Because I think those are two different answers. I think
Let's go top to bottom. Let's go whole roster.
Top to bottom, I'm taking Kentucky because Arkansas has like eight guys.
Okay, that's you know what that's
you know what I mean.
You're right. They got a lot of spots to fill still.
They do, but I think Kentucky can run like 10, 12 deep and be totally fine. And that's the way Mark Pope did this last season at BYU and what he has liked to use. Utilize those deep benches. And I think he's in a position to do that without much drop off. Now, Arkansas has more star power, but I released my top 25 and I had Kentucky ahead of Arkansas because I think I trust Pope to get more out of the group that he has because of the style of play than what Arkansas has and Calipari has at Kentucky. It's what I saw someone make a joke about this online about Arkansas, and I think it's kind of true. We realize that like Arkansas is last year's Kentucky team without Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard and Antonio Reeves. Maybe you throw like Jonnell Davis in there for Antonio Reeves, but then you're still without two top 10 picks.
Right. Yeah, true. And you know, Antonio Reeves last season did not get the credit like he deserved for what he did for that Kentucky team. Like he had an absolutely incredible, incredible season. The numbers, the shooting percentages, everything was great. It was just obviously when it came down to winning time, Blake Lampman and Jack Golkey stole his shine. But that you know, what Antonio Reeves and those two top 10 picks did for that roster is great. To be honest with you, and I'm not just trying to pander to Kentucky listeners, and that I've been getting accused of that as of late. I've actually truly been impressed with what Mark Pope has kind of been able to do in like rounding out this roster in year one on like a short time span. So I think that with the depth that they have, Kentucky, I think, does have the better roster right now and might have the better roster even when Arkansas fills those last couple spots. I don't know. They get Coleman Hawkins. We'll have a discussion about it. Yes. But at the same time, as much as I like what Mark Pope has done, I'm not going to sell my Coach Cal stock just like that. Like this guy hasn't, you know, done things at Kentucky and even won last season despite what happened in the tournament. As our great co-host Greg likes to say all the time, the March is fluky. So yes, they haven't made a second weekend in a couple of years, and that's really, or no, I'm sorry, haven't won a tournament game in a couple of years. That's very un-Kentucky-like. I'm still not selling my Cal stock that fast. And Rob, I feel like the look in your eyes is saying you might be selling it a little bit.
I picked Kentucky to win the national championship last year. Like they were my pick, and I was on here a lot banging the drum for them in February and March. And I was wrong. The reason I was wrong, though, is because Calipari did not have a game plan for Oakland. You know, the same thing that Oakland's been doing for 40 years somehow befuddled him and he had no answers for. It blew my mind. It's been 3 or 4 years now since they've made the second weekend. I think you go back 5 years.
Yep.
Like that's a long time for anybody. And I know we think it's been interesting to me how we view Calipari now versus how we viewed him like 3 months ago during the season. Cause during the season, like Kentucky fans, like, get out of here. Like, you're not winning. This is, you need to do something, get out of here. And then he left and everybody seems to view him like we're in the middle of 2013, where it's like, he's just won championships and ripped off Final Fours. And like, that was a decade ago. No, like it's been a half decade since he's done anything significant in the tournament.
Yeah. It's going to be a major, both schools are going to be under a microscope for different reasons, but they're both going to be under a microscope to see what the coaching change does and what, you know, what they do this season. Next comment from I Maynard. All the guys who left Duke found a new team, all in power conferences. Who has the best year this upcoming season and who might as well should have stayed at Duke? So that list is Jeremy Roach at Baylor, Mark Mitchell at Missouri, Sean Stewart, Ohio State, TJ Power, Virginia, Christian Reeves, Clemson, Jaden Shute, Virginia Tech, and then as of recently, Jalen Blake's to Stanford. So the question is, who has the best year out of these this upcoming season out of those guys, and who might as well stay at Duke?
I don't know if any of them really should have stayed at Duke, given the fact of the freshman class coming and was going to take a lot of their spots anyway, right? So if anybody should have said, I think it probably would have been Jeremy Roach, just being the fifth year senior. They need some guard depth, they need a true point guard on that roster. It would have made sense for him to stay, but he got a decent amount of money to go to Baylor. And I don't blame him for that. I think he's in the best position to succeed as well. You're going to a preseason top 10 team consensus in Baylor. You're going to be the starting point guard, at least start the season, provide what I think he could have provided Duke this past season, or this coming season, what he did this past season for Baylor. I think he's in a prime position to succeed. I don't think it's that hard of a choice. I do think of the others, though. TJ Power at Virginia is in a good spot. He didn't play much as a freshman because his defense didn't let him be on the court. I'm interested to see how that works with Virginia and the way Virginia wants to play. But he's also adding some significant shooting and offensive punch that Virginia desperately lacks, that I think is going to get him on the court and make him more of a featured option for them. And if that's the case, I think Virginia could have a pretty good season, better than certainly they've been in recent years. And I think he'd be a big reason for that.
Yeah, 100%. I talked a lot about how I really liked that fit for TJ Power at Virginia, especially because they were able to bring in other transfers, like guys like Jalen Worley, who I consider a pretty good defender. So like, can kind of pick up for things that TJ Power might lack. But just to play a little bit, I agree with you on the Jeremy Roach thing, that would have been one they would like to keep just because of the guard depth and what he brings and the winning experience he has. Can't blame him. But just to pick somebody else, I'm actually really interested to see what Jaden Shute does this season at Virginia Tech. They obviously, the Hunter Couture's, the Sean Padulas of the world are gone. Jaden Shute's a kid who, because Michigan State was very interested in him out of high school, I was always intrigued with this game. Like, I thought he was, honestly, I thought like he was going to carve out a role at Duke and be a pretty good college basketball player there. Just never really worked out. It's hard to do at Duke when you're under kind of recruited guys, small, and they're just recruiting five-star after five-star guards year after year. Yeah. So I'm interested to at least get some clarity on how I feel about Jaden Shute and what he does this season. I don't know if Virginia Tech's not going to be good. Don't take that as that.
No, they're not.
They're going to be bad. Okay. But I do want to see what Jaden Shute does. And I think, you know what, he's going to get the opportunity because I don't know about anybody else on that team who's going to take some shots.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Moving on. Guy comes with his daily high major comment to prove his sanity. Day 37. Guy, congrats on keeping this bit going on this long. You are one of a kind, my friend. Texas A&M is lining up to be pretty good this year, I think. But that's what we all said last year. The only thing that's certain with Texas A&M is that it's going to be a funky year in College Station. This comment means a little something to me, Rob, because we went through our, I think Greg and I went through like our top 12 preseason. This was before the deadline and everything else. And I gave Texas A&M a shout. I had them at like 12 or 13. And I was like, you can make an argument for them to be at 10 because, you know, what they have with Wade Taylor, Obieski, what he's done. They were able to get Phelps from SMU as well. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with Buzz Williams in this team? Because we were feeling the same exact way last season. And then they just get off to these atrocious starts every single year. Is this the year where they finally put together a consistent year and, you know, actually have a really good regular season, don't find themselves trying to sneak into the tournament at the end of the year?
I think it's their best chance to, certainly. Now, I have them preseason top 15 as well. I think they are either in the bottom of the second tier or top of the third tier, depending on how you want to determine that. But there's a group of teams in that like 9 to 15, 10 to 15 range that I think A&M falls into. They bring back a ton of experience, bring back a ton of maturity, bring back most of the rotation from last season. So all those things you expect to at least get off to a strong start with, because it's important, as we know, to start with those things, and that the impact of them wears out over the course of the season. It seems to play together more. But what we saw with them the end of last season and the ability to beat some of the top teams, you just hope they get more consistent. That's all we really need from them. Then they get more consistent. A lot of that has to do with shooting the ball and Wade Taylor not becoming Caleb Love's idol. Because we give Caleb Love crap for all the poor shot selection and the, you know, the tour dates that he's shooting. Wade Taylor is that, like, to an extreme.
Yeah.
To an extreme.
Yeah.
He's got to cut down on some of that. And if he does, he can be an All-American caliber player. And if he's that guy, then top 15 is probably low for A&M. But there's a lot of unknowns. I think they have as wide of a range of potential outcomes as anybody in the top 15, because it is very easy to see it happening just like last season. Yeah. It's also, I think, best case scenario is they're a Final Four contender.
Yeah, 100%. Also, honestly, Wade Taylor's, I think, shot attempts are worse than Caleb Love's, in my opinion. Like, some of the shots he takes, I'm just looking like, how do you even, how does, Buzz Williams is a saint. I understand he's an All-American level type player, but like, at some time, even if I'm his teammates, I'm looking like, dog. Like, I get it. Yeah. I get you're the best player, but like, what are these attempts right here? But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do put it together. I think a big part of last season and that run they made was like the play of the other guys, like outside of Wade Taylor. Like, Obeski was playing incredible towards the end of the season. They get back a healthy Coleman as well. Like, he kind of battled in and out of the lineup, getting him back. Mm. They're able to get Pharrell Payne fully healthy. That dude's knees are always just giving out. But when he's healthy, as a Big Ten fan, I've seen him dominate games in the post. So it'll be interesting to see what they do this season. Next comment comes from Dr. Doctor, first team all yapper. The better brother coaching duo, Scott Drew and Bryce Drew, or Bobby Hurley and Dan Hurley?
Scott Drew and Bryce Drew.
You going against the Hurley family here?
I am going against the Hurley family here.
Ooh, Ralph, yeah. you're gonna open us up to something. Elaborate on that.
I know. I don't want to. This is not disparaging Danny Hurley at all, right? Mm. Because he is the best coach in the profession right now, and has been for a number of years now. But Scott Drew is probably number two, number three, right? Like, Scott Drew is right there. There's not a huge gap between them. I think right now, and we'll see what happens this year, because I know Bobby Hurley finally has some NIL money to play with, and he's put together a pretty good roster. But one team in the Phoenix area has like made some noise the last couple of seasons and won games in the NCAA tournament, and it wasn't Arizona State. It was Bryce Drew and Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Right. So because of how close Scott and Danny are, I'm going to give the gap I view currently between Bryce and Bobby as the difference. So I'm going to go with the Drews, but I don't know if there's necessarily a wrong answer.
Yeah, I think I'll go with the Drews as well, just because I'm going to just do this process. I think if you gave Bryce Drew the Arizona State job, I think he would do a better job than Bobby Hurley has done.
Bryce Drew also had Dylan Dessou and Darius Garland at Vandy. And then Garland got hurt all season. We forget that.
We do forget that. You know, how quickly going to Grand Canyon, just flipping the narrative around and winning some games. He really did have that team and could not get it done.
Well, Garland got hurt. Like, Garland and Dessou both, like, missed pretty much the entire season. And then they, like, didn't win a game. And he was out immediately.
Yeah. I guess what could have been? This one comes from Jack. And Jack is a new Discord member, by the way. Shout out to Jack. He says, in this instance, does Brad Underwood leave Illinois next season? Illinois goes 20-13, losing in the first round of the Big Ten tournament in the first four. Benham Richards averages 18 points a game, but no one else averages double digits. All the other guys, Ty, Boswell, Merez, all around 7-9. KJ and Avisage both portal after underwhelming seasons. And the options are Kansas State, Villanova, and Miami, Florida, who have openings and are calling. Side note, would Brad Underwood ever leave for another Big Ten team?
I don't know, man. That's a good question.
I'll tell you this right now. Would he leave for another Big Ten team? I actually think he would. I 100% think he would. And speaking as a Michigan State fan, if Tom Izzo decided to finally go off and just live the grandfather life, retire, just be in his glory, I would call Brad Underwood immediately if this situation was to arrive. And I think he's a coach that has shown he's aggressive in the portal. He's shown that he can be competitive in high school recruiting. He's got guys like Jeremiah Fears, Merez Johnson in the fold. You can't argue with the fact that Brad Underwood, I think even over Coach Painter, I don't want to misquote this, but I think in the last couple of years, I don't think anyone's had more regular season Big Ten wins than Coach Underwood. I think maybe Painter's number one, but besides that, I mean, in an era that's been dominated by Zach Edey and Purdue, the next team up is Illinois and Brad Underwood. Yeah. So I think he would leave in a heartbeat. The other schools, I couldn't see him at Kansas State. I definitely couldn't see him at Villanova. That just doesn't seem right to me. Miami's an interesting one though, because they got funds and Brad Underwood does well with funds. What do you think, there'd be a fit there?
I do. I would. I think Underwood is perfect for Illinois. I think the level he's brought them back to, the rabid nature of that fan base and just Underwood's personality, like, to me, it matches so well. I understand the Kansas State connection, but that almost feels like a step back, kind of, particularly with how good the Big 12 is, to go from the Big 10, one of the better jobs in the Big 10 and Big 10 money, to a mid-tier Big 12 program. I think it's a step back. The Illinois fit, or excuse me, the Villanova fit is incredibly odd. Like, I could see it being like, here's perhaps the best job in the Big East. Do you want it? And him being interested in that. But the fit seems weird. But I almost think, like, so you're comparing Illinois and Miami. I think it's a matter of, does he want to essentially have like a retirement job? Or still, does he still want to try and go out there and compete for championships? Because I know Miami just been the Final Four 2 years ago. The NIL, the life wallet NIL money is not the same as it was 2 years ago when they were able to bring in Nigel Pack and Norchad Omier. There's a reason Omier's now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
For playing for Baylor instead of Miami. I think that's dried up a little bit. But there's opportunity there, and the opportunity to live, you know, in Miami as opposed to Champaign, Illinois. And as lovely as Champaign is, it's not as nice as the beaches of Miami.
That's very true. I think Brad might sunburn too easily for Miami, though. That would be my only concern. I saw when they played in the tournament, I believe it was Maui or something like that. He looked extremely sunburned. He's a red individual in general, so I'd be scared for him on that one. Next comment comes from Guy, and we have a non-college basketball question here. Rank the following COVID symptoms: loss of taste and smell, the sniffles, coughing, and the chills. Ralph, I don't want to be too forward here. Have you had COVID?
I have had COVID, yes. Took about 2 years, but I got it. I did not lose my sense of taste and smell, but I would rank that as the worst of the symptoms. I can't imagine like not smelling or tasting. That just sounds like a terrible time. The sniffles is the easiest one. Like, you know, I have two toddlers. I have a soon to be 5-year-old and 2.5-year-old. I've been sniffling the entire time that they've been alive. That just comes with having kids. That just comes with having kids.
I had COVID, I think twice. It was, I didn't get the loss of taste and smell. I do know some people that didn't even get it back, or like it's never the same,
right?
That sounds like the worst thing ever. The worst symptom was like the chills and the weakness. Like I got,
Yeah.
I'm not an in shape individual, but I can usually get upstairs without like losing my breath or like being feel like I had to sit down. When I had COVID, I was like struggling to get out of bed. But yeah, guy, thank you for presenting us with a comment where we rank COVID symptoms. That's exactly why people tune into the show, my friend. I really appreciate you. Next comment comes from Andre. He says, "Is Hubert Davis a good basketball coach? I feel like I'm on a roller coaster of not knowing, and my opinion always changes since 2002, or sorry, 2022. Got the eighth seed, bad. Made the title game, good. Historic bust of the next season, very bad. Number one seed the next year, very good. Sweet 16 loss, man. I don't know what to think." Ralph, where do you stand on Hubert Davis, the basketball coach?
I think he's good. He identified what works for him. And I think he figured that out during this past offseason. We talked about this, but the championship game run they had back in 2002, right? Brady Manek was a huge, huge part of that. Had the floor spacing for the guy who could shoot and stretch the floor. They thought Pete Nance was going to replace that. It didn't. Their spacing sucked. They played slow, didn't play fast. It was terrible. What put emphasis on this past offseason, going out and finding a floor man who could space the floor and kind of stretch some things, Ron Harrison Ingram. They were able to push the pace with Cadeau the way he wants to play. Come back to working well. They were a very good team. Their talent level probably was a second weekend kind of finish. Now going into this offseason, they got to find a big man. I know Riley Davis wants them to, and pretty much every other UNC fan wants them to upgrade that front line. But the guys they brought in, Kay Tyson, stretch shooting four man, guards who can push the pace and are excellent athletes. Like he's identified the way he wants to play and what works for him. And to me, that's a good coach who learned what works and is pursuing that and has done a good job at getting that.
Yeah, I'd say the exact same thing. And in the midst of all this, he's been able to get the five star guys. He has Ian Jackson coming in this season. He's got Drake Powell as well as being aggressive in the portal. I always give credit, even though it gets overlooked sometimes. But when guys who coach at like these the blue blood schools, the big names, right? When they get guys, you kind of just brush over. And you're like, okay, they got it because it's North Carolina. Where on the other hand, sometimes I got to take a step back and I'm like, I'm glad Hubert Davis is approaching this like he is the coach of North Carolina. Like he can walk into the room and go get the big dog. Go get the big dogs in the transfer portal. Go get the big dogs on college recruiting. You're North Carolina. You're Hubert Davis. And he's approaching it like that. And you know what? I appreciate that. And yes, they had that historically bad year, but then they bounced back. And I think they're going to have a great year this year with RJ Davis back and, all the guys you mentioned. I think UNC is in good hands with Hubert. I think he is a good basketball coach, where it was a little bit shaky there for a little bit, and a lot of jokes were made on his behalf. Some of those by me, so you don't have to tell me that. I know what it is. I know I did it. Last comment comes from I Maynard. Says Louisville's roster looks really good this season, way better than in recent years. Would a court storm be justified if they beat Duke or UNC at home?
Yes, if UNC or Duke is like number one, number two in the country, undefeated, like one loss, and this is like a Louisville's back kind of win, and just the emotion pouring out, that is the only acceptable scenario for me. You are Louisville, you are too good to storm the court. But if there is a watershed, like Texas is back kind of moment for Louisville, then that's acceptable.
Yeah, I'd accept it just because there actually be people in the Yum Center. Like one of the most depressing things about that, like the seasons they had with Kenny Payne, is like there was just no one in the stands. I think there was one game, the only person that was in the stands was a player that was suspended. Like they need to get people back in there. And I think Kelsey at minimum has done enough, like with the roster, with his personality, whether you feel like it's a gimmick or not. I think he's gonna get people like back to the games, and as well they should. They suffered under Kenny Payne. Like they should, even though you gotta enjoy your point guard being Chucky Hepburn, you just go make it happen. There is some talented guys on this team. That wraps up the Discord comments for the day. Like I said, make sure you join the Discord. Make sure you do so on the desktop. We're not trying to, steal your money here. It's $9.99 to join the desktop. If you join on a phone, they might try to add some fees to that. We don't want that to happen. Appreciate everyone in the Discord, and let's go ahead and get to the show. All right, topic number one for today. The deadline has passed. Guys have made the decisions, whether they're in the portal or not. There's definitely a few more pieces out there that can make decisions, but a lot of people are starting to release their way too early top 25s with a lot more pieces put into place. We headed over to our good friend, Jeff Borzello, friend of the program, friend of ours, who released his way too early top 25. And he had Kansas number one overall. And I want to dive into that a little bit deeper because there's been a lot of back and forth about whether Kansas is number one, whether Bama's number one. Some people are even saying that UConn deserves to be number one. But diving into this quickly here, Ralph, what is your initial reactions of this way too early? And I don't know if you have finished yours yet for Heat Check or not. Did you already release that?
Heat Check as a whole, we have not, but okay. I released mine on Twitter. I had Alabama number one.
You did have Alabama number one. Okay.
Alabama number one.
Okay. Let's dive into that a little bit because I too had Alabama number one. So what for you, what puts Alabama over Kansas in this case for the number one spot?
Honestly, and I know this is not make for good podcasting, but I think either one is fine and defendable. If you go outside.
No, Ralph. No. You pick the number one. There's no 1A, 1B, and you stand on bit. No, I'm kidding. You stand on business.
The reason why I went with Alabama is you have the core back of last season's Final Four team. And I know there were some pieces that are lost, Rylan Griffin, you know, chief among them. But bringing back Mark Sears, bringing back Grant Nelson, like that's huge. Especially if you get the Grant Nelson who continues to progress the way he did the back half of the season. Like you suddenly have a group of stars. You bring in some elite transfers. You bring in some elite freshmen. Bama can go 10 to 12 deep if they want to with guys that contributed big minutes on a Final Four team last year. Like that is really, really strong. Kansas doesn't have as much depth. I think Kansas probably has more known pieces. I still have some questions of how good a Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams front court can be. While I love both of those players, again, if we're picking holes and splitting hairs here, that's a question. AJ Storr playing, I don't want to say winning basketball, but buying into the more team part of Kansas. I thought there were times at Wisconsin where he was a little bit more selfish now to get his. Now Kansas needs him and somebody to do that. So I don't know if that's going to be a terrible thing. And I don't think the bench is as deep. I think the bench is certainly upgraded. And I think Kansas is a Final Four caliber team, but again, you're splitting hairs here. That's the difference for me between the two. And I had UConn at three, but if you want to make a case for any of those three, I would listen to it. Anybody outside of those three, I don't even think is an opinion. I think it's just wrong.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I don't think that you can argue with when you look at what those three schools have done, transfer portal, recruiting-wise, and then just the caliber of head coaches at those three places. You have Oates, you have Self, and then you have Hurley. And honestly, we're all messing up right now by putting Hurley third and UConn third. Like, their early bulletin board material, they're going to drive that into the ground. But another thing that I kind of wanted to get your opinion on and where I was coming from as well is that, and this is nothing against Kansas's roster. I love Kansas's roster.
Yeah.
Is there any inkling of, are we worried about just the dynamics of the team? Like AJ Storr is a guy who's has so much around him because of the transfer portal. And he's been to like nine different schools in nine different years, dating back to high school. Hunter Dickinson is like this enigma of a college basketball player and personality. Is there any worry about kind of what the personalities look like on that team? And now there's personalities on every team. That's every basketball team. There's going to be personalities on Bama's team. They're going to have a guy who's probably their 10th guy that could start at a bunch of other schools. So my main question is, what is your biggest worry about Kansas, which maybe makes them number two in your eyes?
I think chemistry is one of them, and you'd be naive to think that that's not going to play an issue or a potential issue, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is one, you're adding a whole bunch of new guys. I don't know how big of an issue it will be for a couple of reasons. Number one, your point guard is Juwan Harris, who prefers not to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
he's not gonna be mad if guys are quote unquote taking his shots. He's actually gonna prefer that, right? Rylan Griffin and AJ Store, I think, can coexist on the wing because Griffin is more of the 3-and-D catch and shoot guy. Store needs the ball in his hands. That works. KJ Adams is perfectly fine, or at least appears to be perfectly fine, being a role player glue guy sort of option. I think that fits his game. I think what you're going to get into is a potential AJ Store, Hunter Dickinson clash of who is the guy who gets the shots, who gets the ball, who gets the touches, right? That's the potential friction there. Now, I don't think Dickinson comes back for a fifth year if he's not willing to put that stuff aside. I don't think Store goes to Kansas if he's not willing to put that stuff aside. I don't think Bill Self puts up with that crap, particularly after what happened this past year. And there are very few people in the country who can manage egos with the kind of credibility that he has as Bill Self. It's almost like the Pat Riley of college basketball to me with Bill Self, where he's just great at knowing how that works and kind of flexing his own when he needs to get.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Guys, to stay in line. But there are some potential issues there that I don't know if Alabama has. And this is on paper, but Bama is deeper. I think the pieces fit together better. And we saw them have more success last season. So if you're comparing cores, like, I'm going with Bama's.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. You just can't argue. And this, like I said, the three teams that we stated, those are the teams that I feel like belong there. But like, when you just go through Bama's roster and you get to like guy 12 and you're like, this is the 12th guy? Like, well, this isn't fair what Nate Oates has done.
Jaren Stevenson came back and it was like a huge deal because you love to have Jaren Stevenson. We go to do the Alabama State of the Program video. I'm looking at Jim Root's roster sheet. He's projected to be the 9th or 10th guy in the rotation.
That's
just like, what?
It's literally crazy. I was honestly surprised he even signed up to come back, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah.
I don't know where his mints are going to come from, but I mean, good on Nate Oates. Good on them for doing that. That's kind of why I have Bama number one. It's going to be interesting to see how that discourse works out with the way too earlys. But also looking through the rest of this, I'd like to get one team on here that you're maybe higher on or one team that you're lower on out of the top 25. So let's start with one team you're maybe higher on that than other people.
Iowa State. I am very, very high on Iowa State this season. We talked about those top three, right? Bama, UConn, and Kansas. I think they are the clear top three. Mm-hmm. I think Iowa State is the clear number four and the best team of that second tier. A lot of it is who you bring back. But the way they played last season, and again, they're returning most of the core, their guard trio of Lipsy, Gilbert, and Momcilovic, I think is a difference maker for them, given the way they played defense. I think last year, everybody fell in love with Houston, the way Houston played defense and what Jamal Shedd brought to the table offensively. Like, that was the quintessential Houston experience. Hmm. Iowa State was the exact same way. Their name just wasn't Houston. Like, you watch them play, they played the exact same kind of swarming defense that suffocated teams. They went through offensive ruts, but then they also went through offensive spurts that completely flipped games. You had a number of guys who did that. So, like, in your mind, take the core of a Houston team that was won the Big 12 tournament, as good as they were last season, May the second weekend, and brings everybody back, you're going to be over the moon with expectations for that Houston team. I think you slapped Iowa State label on that, and it's causing people to view it with some hesitation. And I get it. I understand that to an extent, but I think this team is going to be elite defensively, as always. They're going to have as much offensive firepower as any Iowa State team has had under Otzelberger. Mm. I think they're a very real Final Four contender, and it feels weird to say they're a national championship favorite, because again, they're not in the top three group. But I wouldn't be afraid to put that label on.
Okay. So I know a lot of people have been maybe trying to inch Baylor ahead of Iowa State. I like that pick by you. I'm going to go to I'm going to stay strong with this one. I came in with the zone. I'm not going to change up late. Borzello has Arizona at 9. I think Arizona should be higher than 9. I truly do. And this is where I'm coming from on this one.
Yes.
I get it. I get the Caleb Love thing. I get the stigma. It's not even a stigma, because it is earned. Like, the shot selection,
yeah,
the decisions, everything that he does really does seem to kind of hurt this team at the worst times. But I think we need to stop acting like they didn't just get an All-American back. Like, they got an All-American back who averaged 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists last season, shooting the highest percentage he shot in his career at 42%. And he shot 34% from three. And, like, yes, those aren't, like, the most greatest percentages, but they're not just getting back a complete nothing. And, yes, he shot bad in the Clemson game. You know who else shot bad in the Clemson game? Kylan Boswell. He was 1 for 6. Pell Larson was 2 for 9. Keshawn Johnson was 3 for 8. That's not that awful, but it was a lot of missed layups. Like, he wasn't the only reason that Arizona lost basketball games. And I think getting him back, Jaden Bradley being that steady point guard, I think he's better than Kylan Boswell, that just kind of straight up. KJ Lewis, I think, is an NBA player. I think he's going to break out this season. Trey Townsend's going to be great. Like, I feel great about what he's going to do. I've seen what he's done against higher-level competition at Oakland. I think he's going to be perfect at the 4 spot in Tommy Lloyd's system. And then Crevis is a guy who I think can take another step too. So I think people have gone just a little bit too far south on Arizona and Caleb Love for my liking, because of Caleb Love, when they're not realizing what this guy is, which is an All-American level type player. So even though they are at 9, I would put them even higher than that.
I like that. And I think too, we are going to look back on their transfer class, particularly Townsend and DeLorso, who they brought in from Campbell, as one of, if not the best transfer class in the country in terms of the impact they're going to have next season. We just had 2 Big 12 teams, and they weren't Baylor, Houston, or Kansas.
The Big 12 is going to be absolutely disgustingly good this year, and it's actually I think it's going to scare me. On the flip side of that, is there one team that maybe Borzello or other guys are ranking higher that you would have lower on your list?
He had Arkansas 16, right?
Yes.
So I had Arkansas 21 in mine. And to be honest, I only had Arkansas 21 because I'm scared I'm doubting them too much, but I don't see it really with this Arkansas team, to be perfectly honest. I kind of brought it up at the beginning. They're the same kind of build as Kentucky last year without their 2 or 3 best players. That's a problem, particularly their 2 or 3 best shooters. Like, one of the reasons that Kentucky team was so good is they didn't turn the ball over and they shot a ton of threes at a high clip. Well, this team, you take the shooting out, you throw in some questions at point guard and ball handling, and if you're going to repeat that turnover rate, there are defensive questions in the middle behind Jonas Adu. Like, you're relying on him to shore up a lot of things.
Yeah.
That I don't know if he's going to necessarily be able to do. I'm sure Arkansas will be fine. I think he'll be good. There's too much talent on that roster for them to not be. But this Calipari bump that they're getting, I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And that roster, obviously, there's still some spots to fill. I know they're in the Coleman Hawkins sweepstakes, so we'll kind of see where it goes. But it does seem they are, like, you know,
I reserve the right to retract this if they land Coleman Hawkins.
Okay, I will give you that out. But, like, you know, part of the reason why Kentucky lost was, like, some of the players that were on that team last season, and they got the players that, like, weren't the best. Like, DJ Wagner was a part of the problem last year. Like, I'm not saying he's really bad, but he was a part of the issue. Even guys like a Duke the Arrow were a part of the issue. So, like, you just can't forget that when you're looking at this. So, I do like that.
I think the idea of those guys right now, we'll see what happens, but I think the idea of those guys is better than the actual on-court product right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. I was going to go I'm going to send a shout just to Purdue because I know Greg probably would have picked them. Purdue's at 15 in this list. I knew he would have probably wanted them higher with, you know, Braden Smith and those guys back. But I'm actually going to go with another Big Ten team. Borzello had Indiana at 18. 18 seems a little bit – I think that they should be a little bit higher up on this list. I think that they're – I'm sorry. I think they're a little bit maybe too up there on this list.
Okay.
This is going to – I love Indiana. I truly do. I think the roster is really good. And I think that they, you know, have done a great job in the transfer portal. But unfortunately, the game is the game. I feel the way I do. I've seen this story before with Mike Woodson, man. Like, they win the offseason. Everybody feels good about them. And as they should be, I think they really should feel good about about Indiana and the Hoosiers. But to me, I would feel more comfortable, and this is nitpicking at this point, I feel more comfortable with them at like 22, something around.
Yeah.
I there are some question marks. The shooting is definitely going to be an issue. I'm not worried about them. I think they could figure it out. I'm not saying they're going to be bad by any means like that, but I would just have them closer to like 2021, I think, if I was ranking them.
Yeah. I had them 15 from a purely on paper standpoint, and I felt gross about it. I don't have much faith in Mike Woodson, but the talent is there for this team to be pretty good.
Yeah, and look, you know, honestly, going through this top 25, it has me pretty excited for college basketball season and the talent.
It does.
This should be a really really good year. But all right, let's go ahead and move on to topic number two, French guard Nolan Traore, a projected top 25 pick in the 2025 draft, has spurned offers from across the globe to remain in his home country. Nolan Traore, for anyone who hasn't seen him, he had a great showing at the Nike Hoop Summit. He had a great showing at the ANGT Finals, which are the ANGT Tournament, which has been honestly a really big talking point of the last few weeks. You've seen guys like Igor Denim have great games there. Kat Kasparis, also the new Illinois players, had some great games there as well. He finished it up by having a 45-point game versus Barcelona last week and in an absolutely incredible performance. If you have a chance, please go check out the highlights of that. He was absolutely special in that game. He's an explosive guard who I think is going to be a next-level guard. On his list, he had teams such as Gonzaga, Arkansas, Duke, Alabama. Rob, I just want to get maybe some thoughts on his game in general, and then also just in a broader topic form, how do you feel about him staying overseas instead of coming over and playing college basketball this season? And are you a fan of that? Do you think it's the right decision? And just in general, how do you feel about guys that are overseas choosing maybe to come play over stateside, and what does that do for their college basketball future?
Yeah, I love that it's become more and more of an option with NIL, right? Like, Igor Demon doesn't come over without NIL.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing for the health of our sport of college basketball, right? And the benefit to these prospects is, one, you get used to playing in the States, where if you want to go to the NBA, as everybody does, you get that adaption part out of the way, right? And also gets you more used to the American style of play. because the difference between the American style of play and the NBA is vastly different than what you see in Europe and across everywhere else, essentially. Now, part of that's the NBA rules, and it's obviously still a very different college, but there's a little bit more emphasis on individual one-on-one play than you necessarily see overseas. Now, same time, the difference between going against amateurs or non-professionals, mm-hmm. just say non-professionals, and going up against essentially second-level professionals, the non-NBA guys, there's a big difference there. And we've, I think, made this joke with Luka Doncic now the last month or so, because he wasn't really in the conversation to be number one, despite being the youngest ever EuroLeague MVP. And the big knock on him was like, well, we've seen him do it against everybody in Europe, but you know, we didn't see him do it cold night, West Lafayette, or on the road at the rack or somewhere like that. And then it's like, well, no, he's just a really awesome basketball player. And he tore up grown men at 18 years old. Right. Mm-hmm. I think there is a benefit to staying in Europe, and Traoré has signed with a first team league in French that's playing in the FIBA Champions League. So he's going to be playing at the highest level of Europe this next season. I think he's going to get a lot of experience doing that and a lot of good experience doing that. It would have been so much fun.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
To see him, like, suit up for Gonzaga, suit up for Alabama, playing in just one of these up-tempo systems, because he's awesome. He is awesome. Like, he's 6'5", needs to add on some more weight, but again, he's only 17. Like, that's going to come. He's 6'5". He can score from all three levels. Really good off the bounce. Really quick first step. Good feel for the game. Like, all of the things you see from really good European players with high basketball IQ, he's got that. He's an awesome, awesome player. He's probably going to be a top five pick in the 2025 draft. I think he has superstar potential written all over him. Again, it would have been fun to see him in college. I like that it was an option, but I'm not going to knock him for staying in his home country for another year, playing in a spot he's familiar with against grown men that are going to help him grow his game.
Yeah. And his game too, as like a 17-year-old, like you said, the playmaker that he is. And, you know, I think he's going to be playing in one of the better, I think it is in the first division of the French, which is some really good basketball that's played over there. A lot of the French players that have come over to the NBA have come from that league. So he's going to be playing in a really good league. And you know what? Honestly, I think it is a good decision for him. And this is not to say that he is like ducking the smoke or anything like that. I don't want that notion to be taken from this whatsoever. But you look at the schools that he could have gone to, Duke. There's all types of guards over there. Like, Tyrese Proctors and the Caleb Fosters of the world and the other guys that they brought in. Arkansas, they got Boogie Flan, John L. Davis, like a lot of high usage guys, DJ Wagner, Gonzaga even. They got Hickman in the fold, and they have other guys on that team. Then Bama, obviously, as we stated, just has this full roster full of guys.
Because Bama needs more depth.
Like, Bama needs another guy, right, to go from one to, like, super one in the country. Like, that would just be – that'd be – being a cheat code at this point. I just think that is probably the right decision for him given the teams that were on his list. But man, it would have been super, super exciting to see him play college basketball. Do you think that he was somewhat, I'm not saying he's ducking smoke, but does he look at a guy like what happened with Tyrese Proctor and kind of have maybe a second thought in his head that maybe it's best for him to stay in his home country and develop his game? Because Tyrese Proctor had this same type of kind of hype coming from overseas. Granted, he was a reclass point guard, so a little bit different in that scenario. But do you think he sees cases like that and kind of has second thoughts about it?
I'm not going to say that that's like the driving force, but it's probably brought into the thought process at some point, right? I think the more likely scenario is one final opportunity or one last season, per se, to play in your home country, place you're familiar with, again, at 17, like kind of be a quote unquote home. I think that probably had more to do with it, along with the playing time stuff, as you mentioned. Yes, could it have played a factor? I think so. But as good as he is, I think the other factors were weighed much more heavily.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think that how good he is and what he's done, I mean, he was – and that Nike Hoop Summit thing, he had 18 points, 4 assists, and he was on the court with, like, other top projected – like, he was on the court with Dylan Harper and Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey, and you could see, like, yeah, that guy's like a future pro.
The two players that stood out to me most in that game were Harper and Traore.
Yeah, they were absolutely incredible. It would have been nice to see Traore come to the Big Ten, and I don't even know where he would have played, but him and Dylan Harper could have battled it out for one more year and get to see him play in Piscataway, New Jersey. But all in all, I think it was a good decision for Traore. I'm excited to watch him. The top five pick stuff is extremely warranted. And you know what? College basketball has got enough talent to get us by. You know, we got Brayden Smith, got Jeremy Fears Jr. We got all other types of guards you can watch. Yes, I threw that in there. And I'm going to end this recording before you can even comment on this. But let's move on to the last topic here. Topic number three. I got to start the week off by dipping into the Big Ten roots of the show because that's just who we are and what we do. We are going to do the way too early prediction of first team all Big Ten here. Now, Ralph, I texted you probably about an hour ago, maybe about 45 minutes ago, asking you to throw together a Big Ten way too early first team list. Excited to see what you come up with. If you had to make a prediction for over or under, let's say 2.5 players that we have the same, what would you think? What would you say? Or, you know, over under two, let's just call it two. What do you think? How many players do you think we have the same on our list?
I would say over two, but under 2.5. I think we'll have two.
Think we'll have two the same? Okay. Yeah, I think we'll have two. You don't know how I think, Ralph. Sometimes I come up with some off the wall stuff, but
I know that.
You do know that. I'm glad you do. So let's go one by one on our list here instead of doing the whole team. I think this is going to be one that's going to be on both ours. So let's get the early one out the way. Brayden Smith's on both our lists, correct?
Has to be.
I mean, he was first team all Big Ten last year as a sophomore. He's also still good he's going to be good without Zach Edey. Everybody, please, for the love of God, just stop it. The kid's going to be good. He was great last season. He might be even better this season. Would Brayden Smith be your preseason pick for Big Ten Player of the Year? I know I didn't ask you this, but because he's the consensus guy on this list, I feel like.
I think he probably will be. He would not be my pick because I love Dylan Harper. Not to tease something else, but
Ralph, my good man, I love you. Second on my list is Dylan Harper. Is he on your list?
Yeah. I think Dylan Harper is going to be in the conversation to be the top pick in the draft at the end of the year. Oh, wow. I don't think he will be. I still think it'll be Cooper Flagg because Cooper Flagg's going to be awesome. But I think Harper is going to be good enough where it's like, maybe Dylan Harper can be this. The same kind of way it was like Brandon Ingram. And I forget who was number one in that draft. Was that the Anthony? No, that wasn't Anthony Davis draft.
No, it wasn't Zion, was it? No, because that was RJ Barrett.
Yeah, Zion was Ja.
Yeah, who was in Brandon Ingram? Was it Lonzo? You gotta look.
I'm embarrassed by this.
No, you should know this, Ralph. Honestly,
I should.
This should. This is not something I would know. People know.
Yeah,
know
that. Know this. Oh, do you know why we forgot?
Who is it?
It was the Ben Simmons draft.
Good grief. Oh man, Ben Simmons.
But no, like when that came out and it was like everyone knew Ben Simmons was going to go one, but people were like, oh, Brandon Ingram could be pretty good. Like maybe he's the number one player in the club. Like I think it could be that kind of scenario with Dylan Harper. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's going to be so, so good. And I understand the doubts of it with Pykel and how he does offenses and things like that. But like Dylan Harper was incredible this season. He was incredible on the EYBL circuit. He's also been incredible in like these little postseason things, like in the McDonald's game, like he was cooking. Yeah. Nike Hoop Summit with Nolan Troyer, who we just talked about in the last segment. He was cooking. Jordan Brand Classic game. Really, like, I just think his size and his game and, like, the strength he has and then playing with guys like Ace Bailey, like, I am so excited to watch him with Rutgers. If he's a letdown and Rutgers is a letdown, it's actually going to ruin my mood astronomically. But I think he's going to be incredible.
I think so, too. It'll be fun to see.
Me and you are two for two so far. All right, let's switch it up here. This one,
yeah, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good about my under prediction now.
This one, I do not think that you will have on your list. I have Peyton Samford on my list.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, listen.
I don't.
Listen, Peyton Samford, I think, is going to be the beneficiary of the high usage guys that McCaffrey has been able to have in the past. Now, don't overreact to this because he is not nearly the talent that any of those other guys were. He is not a Murray. He is not a, you know, he's not an either Murray. He is not Garza. Don't like get that twisted in any way, shape, or form. But last year, Peyton Samford was a guy who averaged nearly 17 points a game, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. And he was a guy who towards the end of the season, they started giving him more opportunities to be, had the ball in his hands and create a little bit more. So he had a triple-double. He had games 23, 6, and 5. He had 30 and 12 against Kansas State. He had some really big, productive games coming down the stretch. And at his size of 6'7", I think he's going to be very productive. Playing next to Brock Harding, playing next to Josh Dix. Owen Freeman had a really good freshman year. I think he's going to be pretty good. I think Samford's going to have good enough numbers to get his way and work his way on to first team all Big Ten this season. I believe he might have been second team or third team last season. I think he eked his way onto one of those lists. Mm-hmm. But I'm buying all the Peyton Samford stock. I think he's going to have a really big year for Iowa.
I think he's going to have a good year. I don't know how good Iowa's team is going to be. Mm-hmm. I think that may kind of keep him limited to a second team or third team. Again, I think he'll be fine, but I don't think he is going to break through the way some of the transfers will, because I have a transfer left on my list, and some of the newcomers to the league. Okay. May add some additions there.
Little teaser. Okay, why don't you unveil the third guy on your team after our first two that
were. All right, so I put Jay Nakins on mine.
I love you. I love you, Ralph. I ever told you that? I don't tell you. I don't tell you enough, I don't think.
And I think the thinking is a lot of the same reasons why you said for Samford, because I think he is going to get a lot of the shots, quite frankly. And I think Michigan State's going to need him to be. Like, playing that Tyson Walker kind of go-to guy role, I think he steps into that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. And, you know, as a Michigan State fan, we for years have been like, what would it look like if Jay Nakins plays the two? Like, what would it look like if he plays the two? What if he has a higher usage? What if he has the ball in his hands this more? And for better or for worse, this season, we're about to find out. We are about to find out what it looks like. And I am excited. And if he is, you know, kind of what we think he is, I think he will excel in that role. And someone has to score the ball for this Michigan State team. And I think there's going to be a lot on Jay Nakin's shoulder. So I really like that pick. My next one, you're probably going to hate as well, Ralph. I'm not going to lie to you, because it goes along with a player that is very talented, but is going to play a lot of losing basketball in the Big Ten this year.
Okay.
I had I'm making a sub here. Time out. I was going to put Dawson Garcia at the four. Because Dawson Garcia is really, really good. But I'm going to put another player up there who's another really good four who I think is going to play more winning basketball. I'm going to put Malik Renu at my four spot.
Okay.
I think Malik Renew, even with Balo in the fold, is still going to have a very, very productive year. He had a very productive year last year next to Khalil Ware. I just think Renew does a lot of things that, you know, kind of honestly lead to really winning basketball. I think that he's a little bit undersized center, but like still has good size at 6'8", 6'9", at the four spot. I think he's an underrated passer. He showed that he can, you know, be at least a threat from the outside with like a little mid-range three. I mean, he's not a knockdown whatsoever, but you know, as a sophomore last year, the improvements I think were incredible. Obviously the minutes were doubled, but he was able to go from 6 to 15 points a game while chipping in 3 assists and 6 rebounds, shot a respectable 34% from 3, 56% from the field. I think that Malik's in for a pretty big junior season. And I think that, also, he might be aided by the success I think Indiana might have in the Big Ten as well.
I think Balo takes it from him because Balo is on my list.
Okay.
One of the Indiana bigs is going to get it, I think.
Why can't both of them get it?
Because then you're betting on Indiana being the best team in the Big Ten.
Ah, good point. Very good. Okay. All right. I'll let that.
Yeah, I like Renew. I think Balo is a better player who I think is going to be featured more as that true center, the way Indiana has played. I think he's going to be a double-double machine. It wouldn't surprise me if he averaged double-double this season. I think that's enough to get him on the list.
Yeah, I do think he is going to be really good. So I do not think that Indiana is going to win the Big Ten. So this probably does not add up with my list, and I probably should have kept Dawson Garcia. But I did have Balo as the last player on my list. You can't argue with what Balo has done. I think he's one of the more underappreciated bigs in the country. And, given what Woodson has done, even if you're a Mike Woodson doubter or not a believer of Mike Woodson, he's had productive front court players. Like, he can do that. Maybe he's not making the best decision on what guards he wants to play, but damn it, he's good at getting those front court guys. I think Balo is going to have an incredible year for Mike Woodson and the Hoosiers.
I think so too. Now I'm going a little bit off the radar with my fifth guy, and I'm doing some final calculations here to really back it up, but I'm going with Dylan Andrews from UCLA.
Coming with one of the new guys. Okay.
He was the newcomer that I mentioned, and I expected him to have a breakout season last year. That was someone for me stepping into that full-time point guard role, Tiger Campbell's absence. I thought he was going to really take off. I liked what I saw from him as a freshman in spurts behind him. Didn't really happen last year. I mean, UCLA just sputtered out of the gate, but turned things around late. And Andrews was a big reason why they turned it around late. The first 18 games of the season for UCLA last year, Dylan Andrews averaged 9.6 points per game, 3.7 assists, shot below 35% from the field and below 25% from three. The last 14 games of the season, which is also the time where UCLA flipped things around and started getting their groove back and closed really strong, he averaged over 17 per game and shot 44% from the floor and over 40% from three. He's the guy who really flipped his game and played at an all-conference caliber level for half the season. I'm going to expect that to continue into this next season. And UCLA was my number three team in the Big Ten, if I'm not mistaken. I think they were the third top 20 team I had. He's the reason why. I think he's capable of being a guy for them. And in a year where the Big Ten doesn't have the top end teams that maybe they've had the past couple of years, I think the opportunity is there for UCLA to come in and win a decent amount. If UCLA, the program UCLA, goes to the Big Ten and wins a decent amount, their best player is going to get a good amount of buzz. And I think Andrews is that guy.
Yeah, I like that shout because I think Andrews, I'm really high on his game. I was high on him out of high school. Expected a little bit more of a jump. Obviously, UCLA sputtered last season. But, you know, you pointed out he did pick it up towards the end of the season. And that actually did lead to some UCLA wins towards the end of the season. Some other guys I just want to throw out there who I had in consideration and interested to see maybe if you think I should have maybe put one of those guys. Neither of us mentioned Gray Osabor. Do we?
No, empty stats on a bad team.
Empty stats on a bad team. Okay, the other one I had a consideration for Benham Riches. If Illinois could be a good team, maybe they find a way to get one guy on there. And then also I had a little bit of consideration that maybe Ace Bailey just might be that good. Like one of the Rutgers freshmen is just going to be incredible enough to make first all Big Ten.
I think we defaulted that to Dylan Harbor. If Bailey's a better freshman, I would put him on it. I think the only scenario where both of them get on it is if Rutgers is a top two or three team in the Big Ten, which is not out of their own possibility at all. But unless you have, you know, the Big Ten champs, maybe you're a really good number two, it's hard to get two guys on the first team.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we did a pretty good job with that. Greg, sorry, none of the Michigan players made it. I think you guys are going to have a good season, though. Don't get me wrong. But Black Golden couldn't do enough to get over the hump to be better than Balo, and I think that's just fine. One big thing presented by nobody, we really got to get some type of presenting sponsor. This is absolutely ludicrous that we don't have one. If anyone's listening to this, we are easily bought. You can sponsor this for like the small cost of insert dollar value amount here. But Ralph, what is your one big thing for today?
My one big thing is that we need a college basketball video game back. All this stuff has been coming out about the new college football video game, and it's great. I'm super excited. I can't wait to play it. I've already bought it. But why is there not one for college basketball too? I understand the market for football, but EA has now figured out all of the licensing for players. They've gotten all the team rights. Like, let's go ahead and get this thing done. Let's get this thing rolling. I don't care if it's EA. I don't care if it's 2K. I don't care if it's somebody else. There's enough of a market here. College sports fans, college basketball fans, give us a college basketball video game.
I'm with you. I need it bad. Also, I'm so excited for the college football games. All the stuff that's been coming out with the gameplay, like, it's about to be so incredible.
I'm going to be doing zero work the back half of July.
As well, you should not. My one big thing for today, Ralph, you are a father, right? I am a father to be.
Yes, you are.
I had to come with this question, and I need your opinion really quickly here. As I grab this item, I need you to quickly give me a little spurt here. What are your thoughts on dad shoes, and are there a pair of shoes that you need to have as a dad?
You need to have flip-flops.
Flip-flop? Like any specific kind?
You just need to be able to slide something on when your kids are running outside.
Okay. All right. No specific brand, though. Like
No specific brand, but that's been the key for me, just grabbing flip-flops when I want to do something real quick. Just slide it on, be like, all right, let's go.
See, you know what? I don't mean this in any bad way whatsoever, Rob, but you struck me as a guy that if you need to just go outside, you're just running outside. You're going to feed the grass.
I can't stand touching grass with my feet.
What?
Can't stand it.
Okay, what a misread on my part. What an absolute misread. But I think I was targeted, and I saw these shoes, and I was like, these kind of look like dad shoes, and I just want to show the world that I got them. I got a little pair.
My God, those are phenomenal dad shoes.
These are great dad shoes, are they not?
They really are. Yeah, like great support.
Also, like these big bottoms. Like, I might be 6'9" with these things on. I'm very, very excited to wear those.
Those are nice.
Yeah, I just want to show them to the world. That's my one big thing. I will end it with this. Do I need to get a pair of On Clouds? Is that a thing?
It is a thing. I am fighting the trend.
Are you sure, Ralph? I'm hearing great things.
I'm hearing great things too, but my Nikes do the trick my flip flops.
All right. Hey, whatever you say, go, my friend. I trust you with my dad guidance with my life. That'll do
it. The most dad shoes I have, I think, are some Hey Dudes, which are my flip flop adjacent. I need to have my feet covered while we go somewhere.
The fact that you're ending this episode with the phrase flip-flop adjacent is just the greatest thing. I hope you know that. But thank you for tuning in to Monday's episode. Thank you to Ralph for tapping in for Gregory. We will be back as always. Tune into the Sleepers Media YouTube channel. We have a lot of great stuff dropping this week. A lot of great NBA draft stuff where we're going to be unveiling. Very excited about that. We're going to have Ralph, Riley, Greg, all the crew on that. So be sure to like, subscribe, all that. And we will see y'all the rest of the week.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. Together with Delta, we're putting 5G into the hands of ground staff so they can better assist on-the-go travelers with real-time information. From the Delta Sky Club to the Jet Bridge, this is elevating customer experience. This is Delta with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.